Welcome to Crane Radio. Celebrate a life well lived.
Welcome to Season 2 of The Modern Crone, the rise of the energy arts. This season, I'm talking with the most highly regarded and established energy healers that I know about their views on energy, the psyche, and the dazzling capacities of the human system. We will be exploring 6 different energy healing modalities, and together we'll take the energy arts from woo-woo to wow-wow and deepen the narrative of what I and many believe to be the future of healing and wellness science. I hope you feel inspired. It is my pleasure to introduce our next guest to Season 2 of The Modern Crone, The Rise of the Energy Arts, Stephanie Edwards, all the way from the UK. Since childhood, Stephanie had a desire to learn about the human body and how it connects with nature. She has always sought to lead a holistic and spiritual lifestyle, initially focusing on meditation and yoga. With a thirst to expand her knowledge and understanding of energy healing, she spent time in Asia in 2013 studying Reiki before qualifying as a licensed Western Usui Reiki practitioner and master teacher and a Jikiden and Millennium Reiki practitioner. Reiki has influenced, changed, and reconnected her back to a happier spiritual existence, which is always evolving. Her interest in holistic healing and healing her own personal trauma did not stop with Reiki and has led her down the magical path of reflexology, trauma release exercise, think, and craniosacral therapy. Craniosacral therapy has widened Stephanie's view of life as she perceives it and how the body's inherent wisdom is far greater than we can comprehend and how deep healing can occur on all levels. We perceive the body as only having a few levels, but in fact it has many of which we are not fully aware. Stephanie Edwards, welcome to The Modern Crone. How are you?
Oh, I'm really good, Danny. How are you?
Very good. So Friday morning over there for you, Friday afternoon here in Singapore. I'm really glad that you could check in with us before you step into your day.
Thanks.
So let's just jump into it. So, you know, as with most energy healers that I've spoken to in this season, you know, you have mastered several modalities along your journey. But what I'd really love to talk with you today about in more detail is craniosacral work. So, I mean, this, even the term craniosacral has only really sparked up in my awareness, I think, in the last probably 5 years. And I hadn't really heard of it before, but it seems to be gaining more and more recognition, more and more understanding. There seem to be more people, more practitioners. So could you, I know this is just almost an impossible thing to ask, but could you explain to us just basically what is craniosacral therapy?
Okay. Craniosacral therapy, in a nutshell. It's very hard to explain in a nutshell.
Yep.
I could sit there and talk to you for an hour or two.
Yeah, give it a shot.
Okay, give it a shot, right. Craniosacral therapy, we deal with unlocking the inherent wisdom and the health of the body. And we all hold this inherent health. We are born with it. It's when a craniosacral therapy is doing is the connecting with dynamic stillness. And it's through stillness that everything occurs. Like we all have stillness. Our body keeps going into stillness and keeps going out. And that's where inherent health happens. So within stillness, there's a spark that happens. It's like the universe is created from a spark. The embryo is created from a spark. When the sperm and cell meet, they create this spark. It's from that spark that cells start to create, divide, form, and then form a baby. you know, and it's through that spark that health resides. So our intention is to help the body get to that stillness again, that dynamic stillness. It's called dynamic stillness. And I suppose the best way to explain it, I'm going to actually going to quote Sutherland, who's that's like the founder of, or who is the founder of craniosacral therapy. He used to be an osteopath. So that's where craniosacral stems from, is osteopath. And that stillness, that dynamic stillness, is called like the breath of life. William Gardner explained craniosacral therapy as a presence that we all have, which I said before, which is the breath of life, which is that, which is dynamic stillness. And it's through the breath of life and the dynamic stillness that the spiritual essence that maintains connection to all creation, to the source of creation. So when the breath of life comes to the forefront of our awareness, profound experience of love, passion, and interconnection is experienced. So when a person is on the table and a craniosacral therapist is working with them and we get to stillness, you can't just feel it in the person, but it's like the whole entire room, the energy just goes into stillness. There's this complete silence, even outside, and you just feel this. And the body goes into this really, really deep state. It's a deepness that you've never felt before. I've never felt before. And it's through that that healing happens. A lot of I've spoken to a few shamanic healers, and they feel like it's like that, because we're changing, we aren't changing, but we're just helping the body recognize that stillness again, enhancing that stillness, that breath of life.
And allowing the body to do its thing. So what does the session actually look like? So are you using touch? Is there conversation that happens? Explain to me what a typical, I know they're all probably a bit different, but what's a typical craniosacral session look like?
It just depends on the client's preference. Usually it is touch, and it's a really light touch. The lighter the touch, the more you feel. You know, heavy-handed, you can't really feel anything, but the lighter you touch, the body opens up more and allows you to go deeper and deeper, because it releases its fear, it releases its stress. It doesn't see you as, you know, fearful, and it allows us to go deeper. Some people don't want touch. You can work offhand, a bit like Reiki. You know, Reiki can work on, like, with touch or off. It still works the same, because you're tapping into the energy level, into the system, and becoming more aware. So a craniosacral therapist has to be very aware, has to be very present in the room, very grounded, you know, and still within ourselves.
Are you communicating directly with the body in the session?
Sometimes yes and sometimes no. We sort of look at it as like curiosity. I think the more for me as a craniosacral therapist, I can't speak for everyone, because everyone works different. Like Reiki, everyone brings something different to the table. For me, I find if I have a more curiosity to what's going on, that the body opens up. I don't try and sit there and go, oh, let me fix you. I can do this, I can do that. Yeah. No, I just sit there and allow the body come to me first and go, oh, okay, how can I help you? What can I do? So there is always this communication going on, but a lot of listening. A craniosacral therapist will sit there and listen a lot, and then we'll say, okay, would you like to do this? Can I invite you to do that? Okay. Maybe you'd like to try this. So we're offering ideas. We're not trying to make it do something, but we're offering ideas to it.
And this dialogue with the body is psychic?
Yeah, I suppose you could say that, yeah.
Okay, and so when you describe that the body then, with the soft touch and the curiosity and the acknowledgement in your attitude, in your vibration, and the body then opens up and reveals, you know, what's going on and what it needs. How do you perceive that information? Is it for you? I know everyone will be different again, but do you sense it? Do you see it? Do you hear it? Do you taste it? All of those things?
Again, it can be different. For me, a lot of times it's just a knowing.
Yep.
I just have this knowingness. And then sometimes I can see it happening. I see the body in this 3D matrix, like, you know, and I can see it. I'm like, wow, that's so profound. That's like great. Yeah. And a lot of times it's feel. You can feel the vibration in your hand. You can feel that release, which is why the cranial sacral therapist has to be, this touch is really sensitive. Our hands get really sensitive. Our body gets really sensitive. We always, always have to work on ourselves, always working on ourselves.
Well, I think that's true of anyone in the energy arts, isn't it? Because you've got to keep your own mechanism fine so you can perceive this finer information, which is really in the form of vibrating energy, really, isn't it? I mean, that's what we're doing. We're finding tilts and dissonances and pathways of energy. So for many of us, like, you know, healers, I'm talking about, or people who work in the energy arts, you know, this kind of pull towards this world started when we were young, you know. And in your bio that you gave me, you were saying, you know, right, since you're a little girl, you always had some big questions, right? So what is all of this, and why am I feeling things that nobody's explaining to me, and so on. So can you share with us a little bit of your journey into the energy arts? Like, you know, what was little Stephanie like, and how did you find the breadcrumbs to what you do now?
I was always different. I always felt different to everyone else.
Yeah.
And I used to have these recurring dreams that used to, I thought they were nightmares. I used to, like, you know, but someone explained it to me later on. They go, oh, you're just seeing orbs. I'm trying to contact you. And I'm like, yeah, but it was really scary. I remember in Australia, because I grew up in Australia, in Victoria, and we used to get, what was it, the Herald. You know, the Herald, remember the Herald?
Yeah.
And there was always a star signs. And the first thing I'd read was always the star signs. Even as soon as I could read, I was like, what's it going to say to me? What's that? So I was drawn from a really young, I just had to know my stars. And I always had that question, that underlying question, why am I here?
Yeah.
What's my purpose? I know there's a purpose, but I couldn't remember it. I didn't know what it was. And it frustrated me as a kid. And anyway, as you grow up, you know, and life happens, you sort of like move away from that world because influences and, you know, stuff like that. But I always, always read my star sign every day.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, and then as I grew up and I went to university, I just, because there's more out there than in the country, you know, there's more people to get in contact with. There's more, you know, there's more variety in life. I just stumbled on someone. He was into this, like, his spiritualness and stuff like that. And I started going to holistic fairs and stuff like that. You know, I was one of those people who always went to holistic fairs and, like, really mesmerized by them, but just stood away and going, oh, no, that's not me. I'm not that clever. I'm not that gifted. And then I just kept going to all these holistic fairs. And then when I moved to Singapore, I remember having not a good time. I loved Singapore, but I always felt different. Always in my whole entire life, I never just fitted in. I didn't feel comfortable. I always felt weird in groups, like that odd one, you know, you always use that, you know, that odd one. Anyway. You always get them.
Yeah. No wonder we got on so well as soon as we connected, because I feel the same. Yeah, the outlier.
Yeah. Oh, that's that weirdo there. But we'll let her join in because we feel sorry for her, you know.
And are you reading my mind? Yeah.
Yeah. You sense things that, you know, indeed, you sense things, but you don't. You can't explain it. You just go, oh, or you know things sometimes and you can't explain it. You just feel, a bit weird because someone's explaining it to you. Anyway, so I remember waking up just one morning and And Reiki was in my head, and I had to, you know, when one day you just wake up and you have to do something, yep, or else it's going to eat into you.
Yep.
So I was Googling Reiki, and I found this Reiki master. I can't remember where he's. I remember his shop and everything. And I went and saw him, and that changed my life.
Yeah.
His session, I could feel everything, my whole body going back into alignment. It was like I explained it to him. I remember the day. Like I had all these files in my head open, and all the paper was like, you know, out. And he seemed to put everything back in and shut all the doors and line everything up.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, I felt bliss for 3 days. I felt like I was on drugs, on ecstasy. I was just on bliss for 3 days. And I thought, shit. And he said to me, oh, you should learn Reiki. You should do this. I went, no. I'm just me, you know. I'm just a nobody. And then that little seed that he planted just kept gnawing at me.
Yep.
And again, one day I wake up and that was it. I just had to learn.
Yeah.
Googled, found someone, taught, and I've never looked back. And I'm so thankful I did it, because I just really found, like, this is where I'm meant to be.
So getting back to craniosacral, but I know you blend. You've got Reiki and craniosacral and your other modalities. But what are some typical things that your clients come to you for? Is it mainly physical complaints, or do you see people like with sort of anxiety, depression, that kind of stuff? Like what's at the moment, what sort of reasons do people find you for?
People find me like all that, Danny. Headaches that they've had for the past 3 years, that the doctor goes, oh, well, I can't find anything wrong with you. And then, you know, we're able to make it go away. Depression, anxiety, really deep trauma. I'm getting lots of people with deep childhood trauma coming through.
Yep.
At the moment, there always seems to be a wave.
Agree.
You know, a wave of, you know, and then all of a sudden, oh, the next wave will come in, it'll be like headaches, and it'll be like, oh, you know, sore lower back, and then it'll be like, you know, some other, you know, energy issue or yeah, something like that.
I see that too. Think, would you say that there's a correlation between the increase in childhood trauma coming up to the surface, which I'm experiencing as well in my clients, and the kind of weirdness of the world, well, for the last 2.5 years, the pandemic, and now conflict in Europe. So do you think that there's a correlation between those things, that there's people who've just, I don't know, maybe it's opened up long-held trauma because we're kind of all in a way in a traumatic phase within world history? Do you think there's a connection?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think so. Definitely. I am seeing more people with trauma coming through, dissociation,
yep,
like big time dissociation, you know. And it's all what we've been through for the past 2 years has been extremely traumatic, extremely fearful, anxiety, high anxiety, high fear, and all that comes back to is, I think, for a lot of people, triggering childhood stuff where they felt this way, and, you know, and they have no more resources, they have no more like tools in their bucket to help them
cope, so, yeah, and heal. But but in some ways, it's also good. You know, if they can find,
it's great for us.
Well, I don't mean that. I mean that this long held, well, it is good for us, but these long held traumas and things are actually rising to the surface to be addressed, right? So,
I think that needs to be addressed because, well, as you know, Danny, the universe has changed its frequency with the raising. We're rising, like the energy of the planet is rising.
Yep.
And it has risen. We're in a 5D state now. You know, no longer in that 3D state. And trauma and fear and depression, anxiety, it's all 3D stuff. It's all lower energy. It's all that low energy vibration. And I think we're the ones, you, me, you know, are the ones that need to help shift that, to raise it, to help to help Mother Earth raise it, and these people to raise their vibration up.
Yeah, and do you find this as well as an energy healer, that you tend to be the last and desperate resort? So, like, you know, I get people that come in and they're on their last IVF cycle. It's the last one they can do, or they're on their, you know, they've been misdiagnosed or undiagnosable by 50 different doctors, and then they finally come in for some energy work. Do you get that as well sometimes with your, with some of your clients?
Yeah. Where,
and you sort of go, man, you should have come here first.
Yeah, I do. And plus, because of the pandemic, the system over here has been really broken and hasn't been that supportive to the people, you know, when they need medical need and stuff like that. So they've had to look alternatively.
Yeah.
You know, which is good. But, yeah, we I do get a few, a lot of people who just go, oh, I've heard about this. A friend said it might help. My doctor said, oh, I know, there's nothing we can do for you. Yeah. You can't find anything wrong. Yeah. I've still got all these symptoms.
Yeah.
And then within a few treatments, they're going, oh, hang on. Oh, it's all gone.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, and no pill popping. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
So you and I shared, you know, when your time in Singapore, we used to hang out a little bit, and also, you know, via distance now, just how important our connection with nature is, particularly with the energy arts and so on. And I'd be really interested to understand the shift that you detected in your offering and in the sort of quality of energy when you moved from healing work in Singapore, very tropical, you know, very sort of, what's the word, verdant, sort of, you know, lush, humid kind of land, back into the UK, clearer seasons, very different food, different water, different atmosphere. Did you notice the shift in the energy work?
Yeah, I actually did. In Singapore, it felt a bit more, I suppose how you could say, it felt like more effervescent, a bit like sparkling champagne or a fizzy drink, you know, it's a bit like bubbly, like, ah, you know. And then when I got to England, it has more of a, like, a denser energy to it. It's like a more of like,
yeah.
You know, I suppose you could say like a soft drink. You know, it's not that sparkly. It's just, it's good.
Yeah,
it's good. You know, but
has a different feeling to it. A different.
It is. It's a more earthy.
Okay.
It's definitely for me personally, I find it a more earthy, solid.
Yeah,
it's a bit more solid to me.
Interesting.
And there's so many people here who are open to the energy world. So with that, it brings a different quality to it, because, you know, people are more open-minded, I found here. But maybe because I am more open-minded.
I was just going to say that. Yeah, I think, you know, you're talking about before this work that you're doing in your psychic site, where you're determining more what's happening that's coming from you and what's coming from the client, and where there might be a blended kind of entanglement, if you like, where it's equally yours and theirs, the mirror thing. I found, the deeper I go personally in my own explorations, the deeper, perhaps more complex the issues are that clients bring in through the door. So I think there is like a harmonic resonance between your state as the healer and your how deep you're going in within your own explorations, and then what walks through your door in terms of clients. There's definitely... there's something going on there, like there's a matching that goes on there.
Yeah, I actually think that the universe sees, oh, Oh, you've worked on that yourself? Oh, you're open to that now. Okay, I'll deliver people like that to you now because you can do that. And I find like that the universe sees me and goes, oh, good girl. You've like, yeah, now we're gonna test you. We're gonna give you people like that. And you know, and yeah, that's why you need to work on yourself all the time.
Yeah,
All the
absolutely.
time.
I agree with that. And also the other phenomenon that you mentioned before, which I absolutely observe, which I find fascinating, are these like thematic kind of periods where you'll have, I don't know, 2 weeks of just the majority of people that book in are there for fertility stuff. And then 2 weeks later, there'll be like an influx of people on a cancer journey. Like there does seem to be these meta patterns that are rippling through people as they come in. I guess that's influenced by tons of stuff. You know, there's probably astrological influences around that. They're obviously maybe in similar communities and they're all talking, saying, I went to see that healer, you should go too. But I think there's more to it as well. I think there's, again, this seems to be a universal intelligence within it, which I really can't explain, but it's absolutely observable, these, you know, patterns, these patterns of illness that walk through the door.
Yeah, there is a pattern of illness, and I can't explain it either. I just think that the universe probably just knows that we're ready, we can deal with this sort of stuff, and just goes, okay. I think it's all to do with synchronicities. I really believe in synchronicities. But
Maybe difficult to explain, but a lived
it is
reality.
difficult to ex I think it is difficult to explain. I think it's that big question, why? You know, we could
How does
always
this
like
whole
go,
shooting match
how does
work?
this work?
Exactly. Exactly.
Sunrise yoga, midday brunch and farmers market, and an evening wedding ceremony and reception. Imagine how many different activities you can do in one place in one day. Well, with Crane, you don't have to imagine. Host a pop-up, workshop, wedding, marketplace, and so much more, all under one roof. Quote Crane Radio for a special discount on your next space rental.
So another thing that I've observed in my personal journey in the energy arts, and also I can see it within my student communities in intuitive healing, is the more I run the Reiki, the sharper and wider my intuitive senses have become. And just so much so now that I'm sort of moving into mediumship work as well. So I'm able to even perceive even finer information, you know, from living minds of people who've passed. And so it continually expands, it continually becomes finer, but and also much more acute, like the that clairsynthesis that you're talking about becomes much more precise and evidenced. Have you found that as well, that as you've moved deeper and deeper into the energy arts, that your, I guess, your invisible senses have booted up and sharpened and become much more active? Have you observed that too?
Yeah, I have. I have. I know that my, like I said before, I tend to now have this knowingness. Well, I think I had it before, but I have this trust now to it. I just trust it. Like, I don't even question it. And I can feel things before they even happen sometimes. And sometimes you'll just know things. Like, you'll just, like, but you'll be standing near and then you'll go, oh, what's wrong with your toe? Or what's wrong with this? Or like, you know, or you'll be thinking of something and the person will say it or you'll be saying it. Yeah, there's definitely the more you work on yourself and the more you do the work and you practice your skills and modalities, they do become more finer. They do become more
Well,
finer.
you become more
Another one is that
enabled. Yeah.
I think so. I think so, but I think it's like us becoming more fine-tuned, like a guitar
Yep, I
or like, you
agree.
know, like a violin, that, you know, the more you fine-tune those strings
Yep.
and you play those strings, the better you become. And, you know, the better tunes and the music that you create, the quality is much better than someone who's just starting out. Yeah. Not saying that people when they start out aren't good. A lot of my students when they start out are really profound or really amazing. And I think, oh my God.
Yeah, and you know, as long as you start, like that's the big one. Yeah. Like as long as you actually keep that curiosity and keep exploring and learning, you know, that's the big one.
Definitely.
That's super interesting. So this sort of correlation or relationship, if you like, between running spiritual energy and your spiritual senses sharpening is there. You know, I've asked every single person this season the same question, and all of them have observed the same thing, that the greater the amount of spiritual energy that you intentionally run through your system and into your life, the greater the experience of intuitive and psychic senses, which I think is just super interesting.
Yeah, I think that's super interesting as well. I think it just goes hand in hand. The more we become more open, the more it's going to naturally happen.
Yep.
If you want it to.
Yeah, if you want it to. And that's the other really important thing too, is we've always got a choice, haven't we? Like we're in command of this game.
Yeah, yeah. We do. We always have freedom of choice. And, you know, if you don't want it, you just say, I don't want it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you'll take on a different path of, you know, being into, because not everyone wants to be a clairvoyant. Not everyone wants to be a mediumship.
Yep.
You know, so you can choose that. No, yeah. I don't want to talk to those, you know, those guides, those spirits. I want to go somewhere else.
Yep. So we haven't talked very much about craniosacral,
we sort of like really got off that topic, didn't we?
But well, I do have a question on it. So it's been a super fun conversation anyway. But so with the craniosacral, like when we started to talk about it, you're in this dialogue with the body, you've got clairnosis, it's starting to signal to you what it needs and where perhaps the root cause of whatever the symptom is that the client has come in with. And then once you've got an understanding and an awareness of that, what happens then? Like are you manipulating the body? Are you tapping the body? Are you running energy into it like with Reiki? How does
No, we don't run any energy into it at all.
Okay.
Like we're working with the actual body's own ability to heal, that inherent ability to heal that dynamic stillness and the tides. We call it tides in craniosacral therapy. You've got different tides. You've got the craniosacral rhythm, which is what we all express every day, and then you've got this mid tide, which is a bit like if you look at the ocean, you know, when the ocean goes out, you've got that first layer that goes out, you know, that backwash that goes out, and that's like the craniosacral rhythm. And then that you got that middle tide that goes out over the ocean,
yep.
You know, and that's our mid tide. And then you've got that really slow, that one that sits on the sand. It takes a bit longer for the ocean to draw that. That's a long tide.
Okay.
And that's what we're trying to get to. We feel these tides, we feel these rhythms. And it's with those rhythms that we're able to help the body change some of those rhythms.
Amazing. And
like, so- you know, the
how do you help the body change those rhythms?
Oh, we just by asking, just by suggesting,
okay.
through suggestion, would you like to try this? Do you want to open up? Maybe, you know, if we see, if you do craniosacral therapy, biodynamics, then you ask sort of like, like directing the energy, like you do it, you're holding, it's like maybe L5 if a person's got, you know, like knee problems or hip problems or something, you might hold like L5 because that's the lower back lumbar, and then you know, then you might hold the knee and feel for those tides, feel for that rhythm.
Yeah.
And you'll feel like, you know, sometimes you can feel those imbalances. So you're just trying to ask the body to rebalance it.
Okay.
You're just offering, you know, so you are like redirecting the tide a little bit.
Yep. And so do you see, I know every client's different, but do you see spontaneous healing happening, or do you think, is it a slower process where they may have have regular sessions with you? Or I know that's a dumb question because it really depends on what they're coming in with.
No, Jenny, no question's a dumb question. No question's a dumb question at all.
Thanks, boss.
That's all right.
So, but how to give us some examples? Can you give us some examples of some client experiences?
Yeah, okay. I think the best thing to explain is like a baby heals straight away.
Okay.
Because it doesn't have any layers yet.
Okay.
It's still really open. Its third eye is like, its body is still, it's still connected to the universe. It's still connected. It doesn't see itself as an individual yet.
Yeah.
To it, it's just, it's like part of everything.
It's being. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a being. It's just this like consciousness. The baby's just conscious. It's like, you know, and you've got to be really careful. You have to be really gentle with a baby and come in. Your energy field has to be really wide as a craniosacral therapist. You know, so we come in and we can work quite far away, even though we're touching it, but our energy expansion is quite far. You know, so a baby can heal within a matter of like maybe one treatment, two treatments. Where some adults have so many layers to us. Like, you know, it's a bit like a good glass of red wine. It's got so many depths to it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so it takes longer to taste every flavour of that wine. You know, so it does take a little bit longer. So craniosacral therapy, for me, isn't necessary instantaneous. So it does take a few sessions to get to, and for the body to open up and release, and heal. So, you know, it can take like sometimes up to 12 sessions, 24 sessions, and then all of a sudden they'll go, and you think, oh, okay, yeah, I'm better now. I don't need to see you.
Yeah, amazing. So you also teach Reiki. So you're a master teacher. So what I wanted to ask you, which I've also been asking everyone else in this season, which I find fascinating, is have you seen a change in the kind of people who are coming to you to learn Reiki?
I am finding more and more people who are definitely more empaths.
Okay.
And more energy aware.
Okay.
Definitely.
Are they
before
younger?
They definitely are younger or in the mid-30s.
Yeah, that's young.
You know, coming.
It's all relative.
Definitely. But they're really connected.
Yeah.
And you can see it and I think, oh, yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
Yeah, so interesting. So what I've noticed with people coming in for training with me is that they're coming from much more sort of classical Western models like psychotherapy, psychology, coaching, that kind of stuff, which I find super interesting, like HR professionals, teachers, you know, that are, I guess, wanting to deepen what they know and deepen their offering and their toolkit, I suppose, for the people that they're helping. They're all in service, interestingly, but not your typical kind of, you know, like us who've sort of always grown up a little bit with big questions. We've always felt energy. We've been a bit psychic since we were little. Like these are people who've really mastered other more Western, I guess, modalities and psychological modalities, but they're going, no, there's more. I'm seeing that heaps now, like me in my community. The demographics completely shift. It started with yoginis and people who were already on the energy arts road, you know, and now we've got some defectors coming in.
Oh, it's always good, yeah. All these ones that are like, in the cerebral brain, always in the cerebral brain. Oh, bad.
Knowing there's more. Yeah, it's super exciting.
Knowing there is more. But I haven't reached that yet, Danny. I'm still getting all the kids, the ones who are really connected coming through, who are really like quite open. But I find a lot of the times through my, like you probably would as well, through your own teachings, that they teach you as well.
Oh, yeah.
Like some of the stuff they have to, like, you know, and I just walk away going, oh, yeah. I
won't tell you. Yeah, definitely. But I find it massively encouraging that you're seeing more younger kids coming in and really exploring, you know, exploring the energy arts. I don't see it so much in Reiki because my course is pretty structured and quite big and takes quite a commitment. But I am seeing it in my other esoteric workshops, like You know, I do teach like protection magic and, you know, runic magic and different forms of esoteric arts that I just love. And that's getting taken up by younger people who they just want more than the material.
Yeah, they do. They do.
Which I
do. I think because they know there's more out there.
Yeah, they can feel it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They're definitely more plugged in than we were when we were growing up. But I don't think, I don't think that's correct. I don't think they're more plugged in. I think the world has changed and it's becoming more aware and more open again to the healing world and the modalities, alternative healing and the modalities that are to offer. I think it's really turning into like mainstream again. Like, you know, we're coming back into the mainstream because people aren't being supported by their own doctors and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
I think I think there's greater access to information about it. There's better research getting done. You know, our ability to actually measure energy in the body and measure thought fields outside the head and heart fields, you know, the stuff that Heart Math Institute's doing, it's we're able to evidence the existence of energy and the dynamics of energy much better than we've ever been able to do before. And I think that's useful too.
Oh gosh, yeah. There's so many research papers and more exploration going on into healing work. And you know, because I'm always reading about institutes, papers, research. This is really cool.
Yeah, me too.
People want evidence. they love the evidence. They love the evidence. But I also think it's the internet. Yeah. You know, the internet, like Twitter, like Instagram, Facebook, you know, all those sort of things, you know, BitChute and all that sort of stuff. Like so much information, kids, and TikTok.
Yeah.
TikTok, oh my God. You know, my daughter's into TikTok and she goes, oh, is this true, Mum? If I put my crystals under the moon and la la la.
Yeah,
that's why we do it all the time. You can make moon water. Yes, that's why we do that.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, it's all on TikTok.
Yeah, I know. But which has got a light and a shadow side to it as well. I mean, there's some horrific. And there's a lot of BS on social media
around the
esoteric arts. You're better off getting yourself a good teacher. That's what you want. Everybody?
Oh, yeah, you definitely do want to be, but it opens them up to the positive and these things, which I think is good.
I agree.
So, you know, it just plants that little seed that there is more out there than meets the eye.
Yep, agree.
And I think that's good.
I think that's good too. Yeah, a little bit of moon water doesn't hurt when you're a teenager either, does it?
Gets
your dreaming going. So, Steph, you know, there'll be people listening to this that go, wow, this, you know, craniosacral, that sounds pretty cool. I know that feeling that there's more, but they might not be ready quite yet to contact someone in the energy arts. What are three things that you'd say to someone who's at home listening to this going, yeah, I am intuitive, I know I am. What are three things that they can do to start really sort of leaning their awareness more into their energetic nature, more into the different dynamics of their consciousness? What would you tell them to do?
I'd tell them to probably, if they didn't already, just to start meditating.
Yep.
You know, just do a little bit of meditation. It doesn't take much, like 11 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, you know. Maybe get out in nature, have a good walk in nature.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, these are all the simple ones. I think the best thing to do is if you do have that feeling like, yeah, I want to do it, don't be scared. Just go out and find a healer and try it.
Yeah.
Just try it and see what happens for yourself. See what, you know, see what comes from that session that you have.
Yep.
You know, you're not going to hurt yourself by trying.
Yep.
Like, you know, it's just like eating different food. You either like it or you don't, and then you can move on.
Yeah.
Most of the time people do like it. But I think trying, just getting out there, doing those things, but just contacting someone, just go, you know what? If in the end, I'm just going to feel really relaxed, really peaceful, you know, and through that change will happen.
Yep, I agree. And, so just be curious, be playful, be daring.
Yep.
And so what's next for you, Stephanie? What are you, Stephanie Edwards, beautiful craniosacral and Reiki master over there in the UK? Is there something new coming over your horizon that you're interested in exploring aside from your psychic visioning work?
Yeah, well, I'm actually creating an online course.
Nice.
With Reiki and stuff like that, all online, going all online. So that'll be good. And I've got a new, it's actually a free course, a 7-day free course, because I've found a lot of people who've done Reiki just stop and they, you know, they want to start up again, but they're too scared or they just lost that connection. They think, so a 7-day free reconnecting.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Enhancing and reconnecting to your Reiki.
Yeah, nice.
You know, or to your energy work. So that'll be in about 2 weeks.
Okay.
On Zoom, live every single night, just for an hour, showing different techniques, different meditations, different things to enhance, or to even just, you know, to enhance a Reiki or the energy within themselves. With craniosacral therapy, I'm always reading, I'm always studying. Yeah. Like, there's never, it's
bottomless deep. Well, yeah.
It is. It's a bottomless pit that you can go down, and it fascinates me. Fascinates me that what the layers that it unfolds. Yeah.
So beautiful.
But that at the moment, that is it. So if you want to get on to the free course, just a 7-day free course, just go to www.steph-edwards.com. Just go to contact me, my contact page, and you can just send me a message and I'll send you out that Zoom link.
That sounds pretty beautiful. Well, look, Stephanie Edwards, we have to wrap it up, but and you've got to step into your day over there, and it's Friday afternoon.
I know, I've got
here.
A client coming soon.
You've got a client coming soon, but such a pleasure to talk with you. I do miss you here. I miss our monkey pot tree meditations.
So do I.
All that. I mean, that was, 7 years ago or something like that? It was ages ago.
I know, it was ages ago.
It
feels like a lifetime. I know, I miss that tree as well. I just miss the heat.
Yeah. Well, you probably do now, but you're heading into spring soon. Yeah.
Yeah, spring, that feels really cold at the moment.
Yeah,
it's like freezing over here.
Yeah.
Anyway, thanks, Danny. Thanks for having me on.
It's good to talk to you.
And
we'll be in touch soon.
Definitely.
Okay, Steph, have a good day.
Okay. Yeah, same with you, Danny. Okay, enjoy your evening.
Bye.
Okay, bye.